on Steve Dale's Other World. Today we talk with Bill Schroeder, who I've known for some time, the CEO of InTouch Practice Communications, and we are about to communicate about social media.
That we are.
Yes. So how did you and I meet?
Well, I was explaining this to my daughter on the way down here today, Madison, who is silently observing here in the studio for
yes.
all of those who are listening. Years ago, we both work in the veterinary space, the pet space, and years ago we were on I was starting the firm InTouch Practice Communications years and years ago, and I was flying to the North American Veterinary Conference, and I was a small fish in a very big ocean. And I'm on my way down there, and who sits down next to me on the airplane but Steve Dale, you know, a guy that's got huge reach into the pet space. And I remember very clearly actually thinking, well, how can I engage this person? How can I socialize, if you will, with Steve and get to know him a little bit better?
And I generally, on an airplane, this is the truth, I put on the headsets,
right.
open up the computer. And before we take off, before you're allowed to do that, then
yeah.
I've got my nose in a magazine.
Right, yeah. And I recall that, you know, I had asked you, I had said, we're both going to NAVC because I knew, well, obviously I knew where you were going.
That's the veterinary conference.
Yeah, that's a veterinary right. conference. And I had said, well, I'm on my way to North American Veterinary Conference or to a vet show.
Uh-huh.
And you said, oh, so am I. And then you proceeded to do your thing like, okay, well, I don't want to talk about business right now. And that was just fine for then and fine for me now because we're great friends and it's pleasure to know you.
It was, so our paths have crossed but parallel
yeah.
for a long time.
Very long time.
And when you've presented at conferences for the most part,
right.
I'm off doing videotaping or I'm presenting. And finally, I got a chance to see you at a conference this past year. And you were great.
Wow, that's a surprise.
No, it's not. And I learned so much myself about social media. So this is the space that you're in. And I'm going to start at the very, very beginning. What is, and it seems like such a simple question, in a way, I'm not sure that it is so simple. What is social media?
Well, social media in my world is the most efficient way to communicate with others. So whether we're talking about Facebook or YouTube or Twitter, or whatever the popular channel of the day would be, it's the most efficient way for people to exchange information and to get to know one another
very well. It's changed the world, hasn't it?
I believe that it is. It's changing the world.
Well, it has. I mean, on the downside, the terrorists use social media, apparently, to communicate with one another. And on the upside, our 90-year-old aunt keeps track of all the grandchildren and great-grandchildren all over the country
right.
using social media. People talk to one another who otherwise might not know one another in other parts of the world using social media.
And that was an important part of the growth of social media. About 3 or 4 years ago, we noticed a tremendous spike in those who were between the ages of 55 and 70, signing up for Facebook, signing up for Instagram and the other photo sharing sites because of grandchildren. They were the kids, their children, who were in, you know, their late 20s and 30s, wanted to share pictures really efficiently with their parents, the grandparents. And so they say, hey, if you really want to see pictures of Madison or Lily on a regular basis, you got to join our club and get on board with social media. And you can see more than you probably want to see out there.
So you're in the veterinary world, but we live in the real world. Do you
right.
still come across people that say, I know I do. I'm afraid of, or I can't do this, or Facebook is somehow a bad thing. And it's not only about Facebook, it's about all those other platforms, too, that they're either afraid of it or, I don't know, tell me. I mean, do you hear that?
Yeah, I hear it all the time. And not only, so I look at it from two different perspectives. And there is the one side where someone says, I don't want to be bothered by it. And they believe that it's too much information and they want to be private. And then there's the other person that is afraid because of what they don't understand. Now, it's not responsible to think that we could teach people on the air now how to set privacy settings, but please know, and I'd love your audience to know, that it's really possible for them to lock down their social media and create a really confined group that they can communicate within. Facebook does a really, really good job of that. They needed to do that, or they would lose people for all the information that would be out there and the privacy. Obviously, the danger that comes with an open profile with personal information. So if you're afraid of it, I'm going to say don't be afraid of it. Just do a whole bunch of research, or actually it probably wouldn't be too much research to just Google, how do I set my privacy settings on Facebook? There will be an article that will show you how to lock it up, and you can walk through and create it so that if the four of us who are in the room right now just wanted to set a group for the four of us, we could do so and no one would even know that the group exists.
Yeah, your daughter Madison, my producer Jasmine, you and me, that's who you're talking about.
Exactly.
But there's kind of a downside to that. I understand what you're saying and I agree with you because it's true. But if I search for plaid sweaters, then a day later, plaid sweaters come up in ads on Facebook. Is that something we just have to kind of live with? And then the people that are concerned about privacy say, well, how do they know that I'm doing that?
Right.
Maybe they're following me to the grocery store, too.
I super dig that. And maybe it's the social in me and whatnot, and I don't look at it as a fight. What that act really is, it's called retargeting. And because of the fact that you're leaving a trail when you're out there, and I get it, it's Big Brother and people are following you and recording what you like, that you're leaving a trail of your interests in the things that you've searched for, so that in my mind, you can be served up the most relevant data or relevant information at the drop of a hat.
So it's good you might find that plaid sweater you've been looking for.
Yeah, 100%. Or if you're a business owner and you're looking to affect someone, there are all these studies out there that speak to how many times you need to touch a person before they make a decision. And, you know, a lot of people say 5 times, 7 times, whatever it is.
It's more than once.
It's more than once,
so
in most cases.
So it's beneficial in some ways.
Right. I remember the first time it happened to me. I was looking for a tent, actually.
A what?
For a tent. I was looking to buy a tent for okay. Madison, actually.
Really?
Yeah. And
so you don't let your daughter live in the house anymore. Stay outside in a tent.
We've gotten past that. But well, I was looking for a tent for her as a birthday gift. And I went online and I searched for a particular tent.
Uh-huh.
And I started seeing the images of this exact same tent show up in my social media. And it would show up on the right-hand side of Facebook, and in Google it would show up, you know, in their advertised section. And it wouldn't only be, hey, an ad for a tent. It would be an ad with a price, sometimes an offer that came through. And as I mentioned a moment ago, that's called retargeting. And advertisers, brands go out there and they create those situations so that they can further stimulate or, in the end, provide really great information. So,
can you be a small business today in America, an effective small business? I don't know how you define small business. I suppose between yourself, one person, and 6, 10, 12 employees. I don't know what a small business by definition is for sure.
I think it's changing, too, these days. You know?
Probably. Yeah. But can you be a small business, no matter what the business is, and not do social media?
I believe we're talking about expectations now, because I think that there are a lot of small business owners that might be in or of the opinion that we had a little while ago, or we discussed a little while ago, like, I don't want to be in social media. It's too invasive. I don't care about that. I don't, you know, the most common thing that I hear is, I don't want to know what somebody ate for breakfast, or, right? I mean,
yeah.
You hear that, and really immediately.
I also hear from business owners, I don't have time, or I don't need to do that, I don't think.
Right.
Are they right?
I believe that they're wrong. And what I always say in those circumstances are that the number of instances where people have that ridiculous conversation is pretty low, you know, what I had for breakfast and whatnot. And on the other side, I really don't care if you don't want to be involved in social media, because there's an expectation that is set by your clients and your potential clients that you be there. And the reason behind that is because we're all active in social media. The four of us, yourself, your producer Jasmine, Madison, we all have smartphones that are in our pockets, and we participate and check our social media on a regular basis.
I think I do every 2 minutes.
Well, there's a study out there, and I wish I had exactly who ran the study, but it was that people check their social media 25 to 30 times more frequently than they check their email, which becomes a really great way for people to engage their client base. But let's go back to that expectation. There are people around the world or businesses around the world that are misunderstood. In fact, I would bet that the greatest majority of small and big businesses are misunderstood by their current or potential clients. And when a current or potential client looks at the business, they have a couple of different ways that they can evaluate it. They can go in and experience the business and the quality, and they can touch the products. They can purchase a service and experience what their customer service is like. But even before they do that, very often what they'll do is they'll revert to the things that they do understand, and that's social media. So mm-hmm. they look to see if they've got an active Facebook page or a Twitter account or a Periscope account, which I hope you let me talk about here in a little while.
I will.
And what they'll do is the consumer then, who doesn't really understand the business like the business owner does, makes decisions about that brand based upon how technologically advanced or modern they are. So I really think that it's almost irresponsible to have a business these days and not be engaged in social media.
Is it kind of like, so if you're of a certain age, I used to work on the radio where the chair, this actually happened to me, one radio station I was at, it was before WGN, the chair wouldn't rise up high enough.
Okay.
And they brought in what were then called the Yellow Pages for me to sit on, Chicago Yellow Pages, because I am vertically impaired. So they brought in the Yellow Pages.
Okay.
I don't believe it even exists anymore as a phone book. I mean, people.
Well, it does.
Businesses. Does it really?
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know. Businesses advertised depended on the Yellow Pages for their advertising. Maybe print. Maybe radio, I hope, and mm-hmm. I hope they still do, and television. But that's changed a heck of a lot. And social media has also become a way in which you as a small business or a large business can reach many other potential. Your potential clients are out there.
They are. And they expect that you're in the same space that they like to play in, right?
So is that the way in which, if you have a small business, you can reach out to people? If you have a brick-and-mortar store of some kind or not, that's the thing, too, now. You don't need that. On a board that I'm on, one of the boards of directors, his wife makes, and I must say they are very good chocolates, and she pretty much, I hope this is legal, and I can say, but she does the business out of her home, and I believe it is legal, very legal, and depends on social media for it. She doesn't need to pay the rent for a brick-and-mortar's location. She does very well that way.
Times are changing, and the entire digital space, even outside of the social media world, look at Amazon. That's a really great example. It's digital, and it's how we're doing things. I was speaking with my wife, Katie, just last night, and she was distraught because we haven't done any of our Christmas shopping yet. I mean, just we're usually done pretty much by now, but we haven't done a darn thing. Sorry, Madison. But nothing's been done, so I said, well, we've got Amazon. And the look of relief that came over her face was like, wow, you're right. And we get everything next day now. And, you know, if it's we've got enough time that we can shop around for things and return it if it's not right.
Is there a downside to that, though, for our economy? Are businesses, small businesses going to suffer or are suffering no matter how well they do social? Because it is so easy to go to your fingers and look at your computer screen and say, I want that and that. Arrives pretty quickly.
I agree with you. I think that there are opportunities for businesses to align with what is, you know, kind of imminent, right? I mean, we're going to be there. And
I think we are almost there.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it depends on what you're offering too. You know, the small donut shop is not in jeopardy of losing business to, you know, to the internet. I don't foresee droning in donuts.
Wait 10 years.
Yeah, okay.
Donuts will fall from the sky.
I hope you're correct about that because I love me some donuts.
Me too.
But if...
I love me some donuts.
Right.
I like that. Yes.
I do, obviously, you know.
No.
I think that it creates a great opportunity for a business to realize where we're going and to make, you know, some changes so that they're most prepared. But those that don't want to jump on, like we said earlier, you know, you could be in some pretty much bad shape.
So Madison, your daughter's in the studio. How old is she?
Madison is 19.
So are you concerned about the younger generation that is always kind of staring at their phones? Someone here at WGN was, I think it was Ro Khan, he said he was a keynote speaker somewhere, and it was to a group of social media people that were all 20-something.
Right.
And he said, I don't think anyone was paying attention to me because they were all just looking at their phones. So is there a downside to that, too? Are we losing some of our social aspect with one another? I know you're not a sociologist, but you're the guy who says pay attention to social on your phone.
Yeah, I believe you're correct about that.
Really?
Yeah, I believe that we need to pay attention to it. Real recently at the office,
your daughter's not going to date a guy on the phone?
Well, I don't know. Madison, are you going to date someone on the phone? No, she's not going to.
She's shaking her head no. But that's how we meet people now through social, right?
Yeah, and I think people are comfortable with that. But I think that as a society, we need to remember that traditional communication methods are still there. At the office just last week, I had a young man come into my office, and he said, well, you know, do you have so-and-so's email? And I said, no, I don't. I don't have his card. And he said, oh, geez, I need to send him an email. What do I do? And I looked at him, and I said, well, you could call him and ask him for his email.
What?
Right. I know.
What?
And this gentleman is a brilliant guy, you know. And I mean, it's just the secondary form of communication. And it was funny because – and he laughed about it too, where a light bulb went off. He's wow.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time. All the time where people say, I couldn't get your email address or – I couldn't find you, or I needed to tell you something, and you didn't answer. And I'll say, there is this thing called the phone.
Right.
And it makes me feel like a grandpa.
Yeah.
Because they don't, I mean, you, and calling doesn't do it. So I bet you can call Madison 43 times, and she's sitting right there, and she will not answer. If you text her once, she answers.
Oh, that's, I probably have a little bit greater access, or I hope I do.
She's sitting 3 feet from you,
right,
so I hope right now
okay.
you do.
However, I would bet that you're correct. It's much more efficient, and she would much rather – like, I will get a message back from her. If I call her, I will get a message like, hey, I can't talk, but I can text right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're – back to the question. I think that we're growing a generation of people that are really good at multitasking. I think that they can have multiple conversations at once.
If they're women, especially.
Well, I mean, I can do it. I run,
I can't do that very well.
I can do it. I can have a couple of different conversations that are going and feel like I'm paying the person the attention that they need. However, I do worry about, you know, the fact that this generation needs to be constantly stimulated, and they can, you know, where they go. Lily, my 13-year-old, is constantly in front of her iPad, and it's almost like, hey, shut that thing down for, you know, an hour or two, and let's turn off the stimulus.
So I'm more like your 13-year-old if I happen to get up at 3 in the morning to use the facility. And I do check my email and answer email. That's not good.
I do the same.
There you go. We are both guilty. So give us some tips.
Okay.
Some social media tips that are kind of like social media 101 if you're a small business or even if you're just an individual. Even if you know social media, some pointers that you think may be able to help some of us.
Great. Okay. So my first one would be know who you are before you even start. Okay. And right now I'm speaking from a small business standpoint. If you're going to use this, know who you are and who you want to be. And that should be done by looking at your business and looking at the market that you're looking to affect and current customers and potential customers. So if you don't know where you're starting from and where you want to end up, it could be a very frustrating experience if you start social media.
So give me an example. If you're a small business, give me an example. And I guess if you're a grandma, the answer is, sure, I want to be there watching pictures of my grandkids.
Sure.
It could be that simple?
Yeah, it can be. If you're a small business, you need to do effective market research and align with your brand. You know, if you're a fun, lighthearted business that likes to be, you know, a little bit looser than normal, well, then that's how your presence should be online. Now, if we're talking about a social media user, the grandma that wants to look at pictures or the casual user, I would give kind of the same advice to start off, and that would be to get involved. Start by listening, watching brands or people, and listening to people that, you know, are like you, and watching the conversations and becoming familiar with what is, I hate to say acceptable because it's not really the way, but what is typical or traditional. So that would be the first stop. The second stop, I guess, would be to get involved slowly. I'll see these small brands like a donut shop. Let's go back to the donut shop.
You and like your donuts.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's sad, but true.
Not so sad.
Well, I don't know. When you look at how many miles I need to run in order to. but anyways, or just buy bigger pants, I guess.
Both work. Don't you burn calories typing? Is that
not
true?
Maybe. I don't know. So you've got these small businesses that break out and they meet a guy like me, or their daughter comes home and says, "Dad, you know, you're missing the boat. You need to be involved in social media." And he says to her, "Well, okay, set it all up for me." And what does she do? She sets up every channel she knows about. And you go on their website and they've got like 15 different social channels, but they don't really know how to use them. So I say start with like Facebook or maybe Twitter or YouTube, and maintain them well, listen to your audience, and grow. Same is true for a consumer that might be using social media. Start with Facebook. Lock it all up so that it's private, and start slow. If you enjoy watching videos online, maybe take a look at YouTube or get a Periscope account through your Twitter account.
All right,
we can
so
go from there.
So we promised to talk about, so people know YouTube. That's a video sharing site and a video site that's online, YouTube.com. And folks can check out my YouTube page, by the way. You could just type in my name, Steve Dale. Twitter, I'm Steve Dale Pets on Twitter. There's Instagram, where I'm Steve Dale Pets as well. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/Steve Dale Pet World. However, you mentioned this thing that goes up and down.
Periscope.
That's the one. What is that?
It's super cool. Okay, so first off, it constantly changes, so the world of social media. And I will admit that I have reached points very recently where I've said, what else can go on? Like, what more can it be, you know?
So last night, what more it was is I'm on Periscope and I'm watching Howie Mandel's house. I mean, what?
Well, when the stuff went down early in Paris, right?
Yeah, talk about
and that. The terrorist attack that happened. CNN was broadcasting, and you were getting a limited view. You were just looking at what's going on. And I turned on my Periscope account, and maybe now, and I watched from a Periscope point of view. So let me explain what it is so everyone understands. So Periscope is a program that feeds off of Twitter. It's a Twitter-designed, it's a Twitter product. And what it is it's live streaming video from around the world. So first you start off with a Twitter account, and then you can download on your phone an application that's called Periscope. And it allows you to broadcast whatever you're looking at, and it allows you to view cameras, which are, you know, mobile devices from around the world broadcasting whatever is going on. You can search through there and look for particular people by their Twitter handle, or you can open up the map and then zoom in and watch what's going on. So in the event of the terrorist attacks that were happening in Paris, I literally turned it on, dragged the map over to Paris, zoomed in, and there were about 12 people that were on the street right at the different venues. And I was going back and forth, and people were describing, some in French, some in English, exactly what was going on. And we wound up, Katie, my wife and I, wound up switching from CNN to the Periscope. We just brought it up on our TV through Apple TV, and we were watching like real uncensored content, which is super cool.
Yeah, pretty incredible when you stop to think about it. And it brought Paris at that time, a very tragic time, but in the moment, to your phone.
It did.
which is incredible.
Incredible. Instant. And that's what I was saying earlier. You know, I've been in spaces where I've said, how can this improve? What can, you know, what's next in the social world? And I would have never envisioned this. And, you know, I mean, somewhat embarrassed that I couldn't think of it almost because it seems so logical after it's produced. You know, it's that whole hindsight is 2020 thing,
yeah.
But it's like right in front of you. Like that is the obvious, the logical next step the social is going to take. But it's fun, and I highly recommend that you check it out. I believe we're periscoping right now. Are we periscoping?
Yeah.
Madison is manning the Social Vet account, and we're periscoping. So what's going on right now is that those who follow me on Twitter, right, they received a notification that I'm broadcasting live. So if, let's say, people like what I have to say, which is,
they
I know.
They love you.
It's a stretch.
Of course they do.
But
no.
Some people might be able to tolerate what I have to say. And those that are somewhat have a thick skin and are tolerable might have gotten this message and say, Social Vet is broadcasting right now. With the click of a button, they can be launched in and they're part of this conversation. It allows you to...
Hello,
yes.
Periscopers.
So you're watching yes. Steve and I in the studio, and you probably know that already. The cool thing about this, Steve, is that it can... I'm sorry, I wasn't on mic there.
That's okay.
The cool thing about this is that it can be warehoused or stored on your phone, and it's always available for 24 hours later, but then you can save it to your video stream and then repurpose it on your website or things like that. So,
which is cool for businesses too, actually,
I think,
right?
It's super duper cool.
So are there lots of ways in which you could actually teach, and you could, small businesses, not only the veterinary community, which is what you do, but teach small businesses, which is what you could do also, how to use social in ways they haven't even thought about?
Yeah, we do. And we spend a lot of time introducing people to products like this. And you're right. My wheelhouse is veterinary medicine. That's where, you know, thousands and thousands of practices around the country.
But it could be the world. And
I'm right.
Because really, I mean, I don't believe that many small businesses, there are certainly exceptions, but or mid-sized businesses for that matter, have the time or have thought about ways in which they could use social to help do what they ultimately want to do.
And that you are so right about that. I frequently think, you know, we go to these conferences, these social conferences, these media conferences that speak to the latest and greatest and how to implement them into branding and marketing strategies. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've walked out and I've said, if I wasn't here, how the heck would I know that? Where is the information flowing from, you know? So one of my bits of advice would be to find someone that you really trust, someone that understands marketing and advertising, the core elements of that, and are also skilled within the social space, and then rely upon them to help you understand how your brand can fit. And of course, this is if we're talking, you know, small business or medium-sized businesses, you know, most large brands have dedicated staff on board. There are universities around the world that are actually having digital media as a, you can major in digital media, social media, search engine optimization. It's just brilliant. But yeah, so I would highly recommend that you, that a brand invest in a relationship with a firm that can help keep them on track and can say, hey, you might want to pay attention to this, the Periscope or whatever's going to come next week, because I'll tell you, Periscope will peak and it'll flatten out within the next handful of months,
and
making room for the next thing.
Next one. And yeah. Before Periscope, there was Snapchat, I guess. And
right.
It'll go on and on and on. How can people reach you?
They can reach me via email at bill@intouchoffice.com. You can visit our website at the www.intouchoffice.com, or we can go back to that traditional thing, that's sitting right in front of us, the telephone, which is beautiful. The 800 number is 1-800-493-9003, and we're located right outside of Chicago in Schererville, Indiana. And as we said earlier, I spend most of my time in the veterinary space, you know, helping veterinarians communicate with pet owners. However, a growing and a rapid rate, we work with small and medium businesses as well.
I would imagine. I'm not surprised to hear that because I see the niche and the opportunity there.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. InTouchOffice.com. Bill Schroeder, my friend, thank you very much. We could have, you know, we could have done 3 hours worth, but you know what? The people listening to this and watching on Periscope, they do get, even for a half hour, 5 hours of continuing education credit. Is that right?
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, I think so. I think so.
That would be great.
All right.
The point here is you're right. We could go on and on forever and ever. However, if I've done one thing and I've validated the fact that you should do some more research into this and got you excited about that, then I've done my job for the day. And Steve, I thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be on the show and to call you my friend. And anytime I can help you, you let me know.
All right. Just two more words for you. Go Hawks.
Yeah, go Hawks is right.
Thank you, Bill.
See ya.